The field of mental health counseling is growing rapidly, and Richmond Graduate University can equip you with everything you need as a licensed professional counselor while integrating your faith into your clinical practice. Programs are offered in Atlanta, Chattanooga, and online. Apply today at richmont.edu. That's richmont.edu. Support for WABE comes from the Community Foundation for Greater Atlanta. You can go beyond giving to impact. Learn more at cfgreateratlanta.org.
From WABE in Atlanta, welcome to this edition of Closer Look. I'm Rose Scott. Coming up on today's program, Georgia Republican Congressman Dr. Richard McCormick talks about his first term in Congress, as well as priorities for the 6th congressional district he represents. Plus, there was a recent poll revealing the economy continues to be top of mind as the most important issue facing the country, and it was followed by preserving democracy. So we'll revisit a conversation with political scientist Yasha Monk about his book, The Great Experiment, Why Diverse Democracies Fall Apart and How They Can Endure.
And one of the areas on that, I think, is this belief that demography is destiny, which has become shared. It's one thing that conservatives and liberals, but Democrats and Republicans still agree on. And I think it's actually a pernicious view of the future.
Oh, that's just ahead. But first, this news. Students from area colleges and universities are walking out of class today or protesting in other ways against Atlanta's planned public safety training center. In a statement announcing today's protest, students from Emory, Georgia State, Agnes Scott, Spelman, Morehouse, Georgia Tech, and Clark Atlanta say their institutions have ties to what they call the Cop City site. And that's either through research partnerships with the Atlanta Police Foundation or through other affiliations with political groups that have pushed for the training center to be built. Now, at the time of this original broadcast, there are walkouts and protests today. Students will demand that Atlanta officials cancel the lease and drop ties with the foundation. Today's protest comes after an autopsy report released by the DeKalb County Medical Examiner's Office cites there was no gunpowder residue on the hands of Manuel Turan, who was shot and killed at the South DeKalb site back in January. The shooting happened as a multi-law enforcement operation was clearing protesters from what they say was illegal camping near the site. The GBI maintains Turan first fired at a trooper. In other news, two in-state producers of medical cannabis oil are expected to get into the shelves this summer. WAB's Rahul Bali reports thousands of Georgians have been waiting years for legal access.
The next step for the Georgia Access to Medical Cannabis Commission is granting dispensing licenses to the two current in-state producers of low THC oil. Those could be used to open up to 12 stores across the state. The commission recently made public data on the number of patients on the state's low THC oil registry by county. Commission Executive Director Andrew Turnage explains how they expect the two producers to use that data.
When they apply to the commission for their dispensing license, we've asked them to articulate how they're going to serve the patient population in the area that they choose.
There are four Metro Atlanta counties that have between 1,000 to 3,000 registered patients each. Those are Cobb, DeKalb, Fulton, and Gwinnett. Overall, there are about 27,000 patients on the registry. Turnage expects that number to grow to 100,000.
That's just based on similar states with registries that started at similar size with medical-only programs, somewhat like Georgia's. It's our expectation that it could grow beyond that, but that's what we anticipate. And I think the time frame for that will happen within 12 to 18 months.
To get on the low THC oil registry, a doctor has to confirm your eligibility based on a list of conditions written into law that include severe autism, MS, and Parkinson's. Rahul Bali, WABE News.
The Atlanta-based CDC is making updated COVID-19 vaccinations available on a more flexible schedule for people at the highest risk for severe illness. Jess Madel reports that comes as the virus continues to evolve.
The newest version of the vaccine targets the latest strains of Omicron. Anyone who's gotten an original vaccination is urged to get a booster, and the CDC is also making them available on a more flexible schedule for people in high-risk groups. That includes those over 65 or with weakened immune systems. Numbers from the Georgia Department of Public Health show the state with more than 2,300 cases of COVID-19. While older people continue to be at highest risk for severe illness, federal health officials say it's also important for children to be vaccinated against the disease. Jess Mador, WABE News.
And finally,
Tatum, exclamation point, Jason Tatum, 129-121. Boston Celtics.
Close, but not close enough. The Atlanta Hawks are now down 3-1 against the Boston Celtics in the first round of the NBA playoffs. Despite shaving the Celtics' lead down to 5 in the last few minutes of the fourth quarter, the Hawks wouldn't get any closer. So the series shifts back to Boston for a must-win, or else the Hawks' season is over. And so whether we're talking about sports, politics, education, health and wellness, workforce development, transit and mobility, we report it all, we investigate, and we bring you important news and content. So we thank you for listening to Closer Look. As always, I'm Rose Scott. And in case you didn't know, WABE has been a valuable resource for decades.
Hi, it's just me, Paula Poundstone. I want to congratulate WABE on their 75th anniversary. If not for WABE, people in coffee houses would talk about coffee. How's yours? Good. How's yours? Good. For the last 75 years. Thanks to WABE for enriching conversations and lives for 75 years. And to WABE listeners for making it possible.
Yeah, listeners like you, as we celebrate 75 years of service, we're asking for help for you to keep it going at wabe.org/donate because it helps us create a better understanding and interesting interviews. You can do so at wabe.org/donate. And right now, we've got yet another reason to give, and I'm joined this hour by WABE's own Glenda Davis, Senior Vice President of Membership. Glenda, welcome. It's your first time.
Yes, it is. Thank you so much for having me.
You nervous?
Not really.
Okay. Well,
a little.
Let's rip.
All right. Yes. When you give right now, we'll enter you into a drawing to win a $250 Good Measure Meals gift card. These are nutritionally balanced meals made from scratch right here in Atlanta and delivered right to your door. This drawing is open to anyone who donates between now and the end of Closer Look. That means your odds of winning are pretty darn good. Your gift right now and this fundraiser helps us bring you Closer Look and gets you entered into this drawing. Please take a moment to give what may very well be your first donation at wabe.org/donate or call us at 678-553-9090.
My name is Cherise Williams, and I live in the Chosewood Park neighborhood. I really appreciate Closer Look with Rose Scott because I feel like she brings really important lenses to the stories that she reports. Always asking questions about equity and fairness. She makes the people she's interviewing about a story break things down so the average person who may not know every single detail comes away with a pretty holistic understanding of the events that are unfolding.
Well, thank you, Cherise. Really appreciate that. I appreciate that. The entire Closer Look team appreciates that. So remember now, don't forget, when you give today, your name will be entered into a drawing to win a $250 Good Measure Meals gift card. For full contest rules, it's easy. Visit wabe.org/contest rules. And by the way, I want to let you know about something else that's coming up. A little bit of history here on WABE. It's the first ever story off. Yes, story off, where two well-known public radio personalities try to tell you their very best story. Glenn Washington from Snap Judgment and Ira Glass from This American Life. Now that's coming up in about 18, 20 minutes as Closer Look continues.
Support for WABE comes from the Community Foundation for Greater Atlanta. If you love Atlanta, you can invest in the big picture. Learn more at cfgreateratlanta.org.
I'm Earlonne Woods.
I'm Nigel Poor. We're the hosts and creators of Ear Hustle from PRX's Radiotopia.
Ear Hustle is a show about life inside prison, but it's not your typical prison podcast.
In this next season, we've got stories about the objects people keep inside their prison cells.
About residents in a women's prison who say they want to stay there.
And the most beautiful prison garden. Earlonne, I will never forget it.
Ear Hustle. Stories about life on the inside, told by those who live it.
Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts.
And Closer Look continues from WABE in Atlanta. I'm Rose Scott. Republican Dr. Richard McCormick has just started his freshman year in Congress, representing voters in Georgia's 6th District, an area that stretches north of Dawsonville as far south as Roswell. And he's also an emergency room physician. And Congressman McCormick has 20 years in the Navy and Marine. So we're going to ask him about this first year up in D.C. Welcome, Congressman McCormick. I appreciate you taking the time.
Well, thanks. It's good to be with you today.
Let's begin here because there was a poll that was conducted last month that reveals, I'm going to quote them here, while the economy and preserving democracy are top of mind for Americans, partisan differences fuel what they call a lack of consensus about the nation's policy priorities. What does that say to you about how people view what you all are doing or not doing in Congress?
Well, first, it's very interesting. This is my first 100 days.
Yeah.
So I'm almost done solving the world's problems, of course. I always look around at my fellow congressmen. I'm like, why didn't you fix this 10 years ago? I don't get it. I've actually kind of marveled that my career has gone from being a Marine Corps pilot and did some airborne time, and then became a Navy ER doc. I just had my last ER shift on December 28th. Yeah. So I'm used to being, and I'm also a youth minister for over 20 years. Mm-hmm. So I'm used to being a popular guy. And what I've noticed is I went from being very popular to being very unpopular almost overnight. As soon as you announce being in politics, when I went to Morehouse School of Medicine, and I'd say a good portion of people that I thought were very good friends all of a sudden didn't like me because of politics.
Okay, but here's what's interesting, because you're in the military.
Uh-huh.
You work your medicine, you're on the front line, so you know the importance of folks working together.
Yeah, for sure.
To get things done.
But that's exactly the point. So the fact that I had people I consider friends all of a sudden not like me because I announced that I was a Republican, and I'm talking about a guy, I was popular in my class. And I was popular amongst my community, and all of a sudden people didn't like me. I'm a reflection of society. So is Congress.
So did they told you we can't be friends anymore because you're a Republican or because you were just a politician in general?
Republican.
Yeah.
The fact that I stood for a party, even as an independent thinker, immediately they stopped calling. They stopped being friendly. And it was sad to me that people... It's sad to see that society's made everything political, even medicine. You saw how coronavirus became a political thing rather than a scientific thing.
But you
thing.
Were at the storm of that too as
of
well.
Of course I was. That's exactly my point. We couldn't even practice medicine without making it political. And this is the problem right now with everything.
But it's been a problem. It's not the
That's
fact
right.
that
That's right. this
the
is
fact
not
that
new.
Democrats and Republicans can't get along.
This is not new.
As people say, ain't new. That ain't new. And forgive my sister Dennis somewhere, my English teacher from high school, forgive me. But that's not new.
No.
So what is there anything that you can take away from just even these first few months that perhaps you could do? I had so many conversations with the late Johnny Isaacson, who talked about bipartisan.
Sure. And Johnny Isaacson was known for that.
Yeah.
He was a true believer in people. You could say that about several people. And everybody likes their own congressman. Every other congressman is the problem, right? But you're seeing kind of a cyclical thing. We've been through this multiple times in our history. We're kind of going through the 70s all over again, where we have racial strife. We have a proxy war with Russia. We have record drug deaths. We have high inflation. We have high energy costs. Any of this sound familiar? This is all the 70s I'm talking about. We're having it right now. And I think we're hyper acute to the political process. We need to divest a little bit. We need to have some dialogue, because too many people are looking for a fight rather than for a friend.
So then how can you, or do, and be fair with me, do they not pay attention to the first year of Congress? People are like, yeah, y'all just got here. What can you do then to strengthen that?
Sure. So when I have conversations, I keep on talking about if you want to grow your church, and the party system's like a church. Actually, even America's like a church.
Yeah, for some people, though, they don't want America to be like
no, they
a
don't.
Church.
But some churches don't want to be churches.
That's
you
true,
You have
too.
People trying to divide churches all the time. That happens more often than not.
Okay.
So my whole point is So many people are a fist looking for a fight. They think they define the party or define the country based on their belief of the Bible, if you will, or the Constitution, whatever it is. And this is my point. Stop trying to win an argument. Win a friend. You'll have real influence then. And that's what I'm about. If you look at my relationships, that's real influence.
Do you have good relationships with some Democrats?
I do.
Like who?
Ah, Mr. Jackson. So Mr. Jackson, of course, comes from a political family. And it's funny because his brother was in politics before him, and obviously his dad ran for president, and he's from Chicago. I prayed with the guy. I've seen him pray over Derek Van Orden's kid who has cancer. I've had lunch with several. I just, you know, the funny thing is I don't get that out there in the open because people immediately want to label you. Oh, look, you're hanging out with Democrats. You must think blah, blah, blah. I'm one of the most conservative people up there, but relationships, I have some things that I think that some Democrats are going to vote for because I think it'll be universally popular.
Like what?
Well, one of the things I want to do is I want to hold government accountable. I think we are one of the only nations, maybe the only nation, that was built on the premonition that people were empowered over government, not government over people. Most people come from a society.
Well, that was a rallying cry of the, quote, founding fathers.
Of course it was. And to empower a person, the ultimate minority is the individual. If you want to talk about a person who needs representation, that a government can't dominate you and decide for you what's right for your life. That's what this country was founded on. And the only way that we get back to that is, by the way, and I see bad behavior on both sides of that. When we think, when I'm in charge, I'm going to make an executive order. Or when I'm in charge, I'm going to make sure people do what I want them to do. That's a problem on both sides of that.
And based on what you just said, though, can you understand someone listening saying, well, Congressman, then why do we have so many of these issues where it appears that government wants to interfere with people's personal choices? Mm. And that could be abortion.
It could be anything,
it
right?
It could be anything.
So that's why the further you push government down to the local level, the better. Too many people want to centralize government, want to make the central government powerful. And when you're up there, you become part of the problem because, of course, I want to solve everybody's problems. Mm-hmm. It's not up to us to solve everybody's problems. As a matter of fact, it's very important to divest the power down to the local level so you have the most representative government possible. But, and that goes into my position also. My most important thing that I can do is not a vote up there. I'm one of 435 votes.
Sure.
It's taking care of constituent services. Whether you're a Democrat or Republican, you come to me and you have a problem here locally, I get to take care of that, and we do a good job of that.
Can you understand also, too, the counter that is that you all are responsible for ensuring that there is equity and equality and non-discriminatory policies and practices on a federal level?
So I would challenge that.
Let me finish.
Sure.
But there have been issues as it relates to that. So what do you say to someone who comes back with that?
So the Constitution was based on the fact that we have an opportunity for life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, not equity. Equity is something nice to think about, but equity, not everybody wants to work the same. Not everybody. I know people who came here from Nigeria, who came here with $200 in their pocket, worked 16 hours a day, 7 days a week, and made it big. Equity
is about access, too.
Access is
equity
different.
Is about making sure there's access for all to achieve.
If it's about access, I'm with you. Right. But I don't think that's what most people push. When you punish people who succeed through that kind of work ethic, whether you come from Nigeria or India.
How are they being punished?
If you overregulate, if you overtax, if you make sure that the most successful people can't get into a certain school because of their color of skin, or because they're held back because of regulation, regardless of who you are.
That's discrimination. That's not equity.
You're right.
So,
but that's in the name of equity. I've seen that done.
Well, I think there are a lot of people that would push back on it. Let's back up for a moment, because if you believe that to be true, we need entities, for example, the Department of Education, which there was I think it was H.R. 899 to terminate the Department of Education.
What is the Department of Education for? From your opinion, I'm just asking.
You know what the Department of Education is.
No, I'm asking what your opinion is.
My opinion is that the Department of Education, like other departments, are probably necessary. But I'm asking you,
why
would you want to terminate? I'm asking you, why would you vote to want to terminate the Department of Education?
Well, first I want to know why you think it's necessary, because that would incline me to be able to answer your question better.
Because going back to what you said about access and equity, because in this country we have a history that we know of that segregated people, that did not give kids of certain ethnicities an opportunity to access the same education as white kids.
Okay.
That's why. So I'm asking you, why would you want to terminate the Department of Education?
So in my mind, if you, once again, centralize the government, and each state gives a portion of their, your, let's say your tax dollar, which goes up to the United States federal level, and then is disseminated amongst 40,000 bureaucrats, and then comes back to your district with strings attached on how you're going to do your education, so that you can't control the local level. Now you've basically created, your free money is way too expensive. In other words, they're now going to tell you how you run your school in your community where you have local representation, which also tells you how your school, now you have a board, school board, you got a state board, and you have a federal board. The federal money, though, comes back to you with strings attached telling you how Georgia versus California versus name your state all have to do things the same.
If that's an issue for you all, then why don't you all have
provisions?
No, I'm talking about Congress. And why don't you have provisions that you will feel will be fair?
Well, the fair thing is to let you run your own school system so that you have control of it. That's
how do
fair.
How do you think that's possible when we have such division, even on the state level, depending on which party in control?
So if you want to go by control, it switches much more often at the federal level than it does at the local level. In your community, how often do you change out congressmen? Not very often. How often do you change out your school board? Not often. You have control of your community much better than you have at the federal level.
And someone will argue.
And as representative.
And let me ask you, let me bring this up to you, because then the counter argument to that, one of the counter arguments is that also there is an issue when it comes to electing officials, because districts get redrawn, which is how you were, let's be really clear, Congressman, that's how you were elected.
Perfect.
Districts were redrawn because of which party? The Republican Party. So let's just, let's talk about what you, because you said this coming into this segment about you want people to get along and you want folks to talk to each other.
I want to represent. You'll never get along. We're representatives.
But
you've
been
talking
about. But what you're saying is division. It's just all of, it's all about division. Folks are not.
So where are you more likely to agree, at the federal level or local level?
I'm asking you because you ran for. Why did you run for Congress? What did you want to do? You wanted to represent your district.
So back to this.
Yeah.
We decentralized government. We push it down to your level so you can control your own destiny. This is exactly why I believe the Department of Education gets in the way. And when I ran for Congress, it was with the idea of disempowering.
So you ran for Congress so you can go up there and help disempower.
Wouldn't it be
the
amazing? Wouldn't it be amazing if we did what we were designed for, which is have a representative government? If you have every president who comes in passing executive orders, you can cheer when your side's in charge, and you're going to boo when the other side's in charge, because it's centralized power.
What are you
going to do? And Congress needs to grab back the representative government that we should have.
What can you do? How do you see your role in trying to, if you think this is the great way?
Yeah. Every time you have an opportunity to take away centralized power, to take away a less representative government, anytime you have an opportunity to not have an imbalance where the president is too powerful. When's the last time we declared war by Congress? Do you remember?
Yeah. What? Let me ask you.
Do you remember? I'm just asking a question.
I do. Let me.
It was World War II, just to make it clear.
Hold on.
How many wars have we been in since World War II?
Hold on.
A lot. We don't do things by Congress. We do things by executive order.
But and that's been a problem.
That's not a representative.
Okay, but that was an issue with the Obama administration?
Of course it was. That was
an issue with Donald Trump, someone that you supported, right?
When we make this about a president instead of Congress, we've lost our way. This isn't.
That's what everyone says about the Republicans and the Democrats.
I'm asking you. We can't do without
how
America.
How do you get to this end game that you want of
decentralizing?
Decentralizing, pulling all this power out of the federal
level. That's
exactly
what we're up there voting and arguing over.
You're arguing, but you ain't voting.
I'm voting.
Y'all are arguing.
Everything I vote for is to decentralize.
How do you see that helping this nation?
By giving you more power.
But that's not.
No, seriously.
But don't you understand the argument when people say, when you say giving voters the power, that varies state to state depending on who is in control?
Absolutely. Yes, precisely.
So
that's
no side is going to be happy.
No. So if you win and you get to tell people what to do, that's winning?
So that's what you're saying.
No, just the opposite. I'm saying if you want a centralized government and you think one person has the idea of what's right, then one person gets to dictate what's good for all the nation.
I want to, because I do want to be, I'm interested in knowing about your priorities for your district,
mm-hmm.
and also in terms of what you think you can bring to Congress. You serve on the Foreign Affairs Committee. You have a health background.
Mm-hmm.
You feel the importance of making sure that health care for all. Is that something that you agree that it can have a bipartisan support to ensure that folks can have a better access when it comes to all types of health care?
Yeah, the question is what people believe that represents. If you look at when we came up with the Affordable Care Act, for example, it was supposed to make health care more affordable. It didn't do that.
According to whom?
Is your insurance premium cheaper? According to everybody I've talked to, I'm sorry.
And who's that? Everybody.
Every single person I've talked to.
Everybody you've talked to said that the Affordable Care Act didn't help anybody.
I didn't say it didn't help anybody. I'm just saying if you look at, did it make it affordable? It didn't make it affordable.
That's not a true statement, though, Congressman. So, you can't make that blanket generalization.
So if you want to look at health care and how much, I can because I can look at the statistics, how much health care costs. Health care right now goes up by 10% per year. That's not affordable. It's the biggest inflationary cost. Let me finish because you're about to interrupt.
No, I'm not.
Okay, it's good. So it's the biggest cost to taxpayers. It's the second biggest cost to business owners. It's the biggest inflationary cost to Americans, and we haven't done anything to make it affordable.
What do you have as an alternative if you believe that?
So if you really want to get into it, I like the Singapore model. Now, I've studied this extensively. I've studied it from multiple positions since I was in Morehouse School of Medicine, talking to Dr. Satcher, the first African-American Surgeon General.
I know Dr. Satcher very well. I've known him for 20 years, I know who he is.
Good man. So he was one of my instructors. We've talked about access. We've talked about healthcare models. I've talked about multiple studies. But it's a deep... The problem is most people don't have the bandwidth.
What's the Singapore model?
So that's what I'm about to get into. So most people don't have the bandwidth to understand what is driving the healthcare costs. First of all, there's too many people wetting their beak at the biggest single cost to taxpayers. If you want to talk about the CPOs, the PBMs, the people that bear the intermediaries between insurance agencies and hospitals.
Can't y'all do something about that in Congress?
Absolutely. Well, Trump tried to cancel it, and then it was propped back. Okay, and once again, this isn't about Trump. I don't want to make this about Trump. Every time somebody tries to do something about it, we have massive lobbying efforts against changing it for the better. The Singapore model basically drives patient care so we make the right choices. For example, if you have an earache and you need an antibiotic, and I prescribe you Augmentin, you're going to go and use, most people, if you have an insurance policy, will go to the health, whatever place, pharmacy, you're going to have your copay for $6. You're going to get your $65, $75 medication. The insurance company is going to put a 10% increase on that for your premiums because that's what they're allowed to. You're going to end up with $100 on something you could have done a cash out of pocket for $7.
Isn't that Big Pharma, though?
It's more than Big Pharma. It's PBMs. It's whole bunch of problems.
It's a whole...
That's my problem. Okay. Is once again, even talking about this, once again, you're going to get very much into the weeds that would take me a half hour to describe. It's much easier to say, I'm going to give it to you for free. And this is the problem. It takes 5 seconds to promise somebody it's going to be for free, which is never free, by the way. And it takes me 5 minutes to explain why that's not going to work and why it's not going to make it affordable. And for me to explain the Singapore model, I haven't even gotten through two lines where we don't get distracted.
Yeah, because I'm still waiting for it. But okay.
Well, because I get interrupted every 2 seconds.
Oh, come on now.
Trying to get to that Singapore model, which is complex. Okay. But it drives human behavior. Instead, if I have a funded HMO, which basically a funded... let's say you put in $2,500, mm-hmm. I put in $25 as your boss. Now, we both have the idea that we want you to roll this over and take it wherever you want to. But if you keep that money, you don't have to pay into the next year. Now, you would go out of your way to basically make sure you go to the cheapest place to buy that antibiotic or you buy the appropriate antibiotic because you want to save that money for the next year, so you don't have to pay into it. So instead of using your copay and the insurance money, you're actually using the out-of-pocket pay, which saves you money. Instead of $100, it's $7.
So I tell you what. Since you say it takes more time, I'll bring you back. We'll talk about the Singapore method. I believe our listeners, if they are interested, they'll let me know. We'll do that. But I, as we wrap up, because we are up against the clock, let me ask you this, Congressman McCormick. In this first year, mm-hmm. your first year, and what you told me coming into this segment, because it is about how can Congress best enact legislation and policy that's fair and equitable for the nation. You talked about what you feel your role is? Are you willing to admit that then there are issues from both sides? That's the problem. Not just Democrats, not just Republicans.
I've always said that. I think anybody who thinks that they're up there to be the end-all, be-all to government is doing exactly what I'm criticizing, which is thinking that government is the solution to all of our problems.
And when you tell your fellow Republicans that, what do they say?
A lot of them get it. Because if you're a true conservative, if you look back the history of our nation and those people who are conservatives, they didn't turn to the government to solve their problems. Because the government's never supposed to solve the problems that only families and churches and communities can solve. That's the conservative idea. Now, some conservatives do buy into the government needs to make people do blah, blah, blah. And that's the problem.
But the problem also that it's been built on the fact that to begin with, everybody didn't have an equitable piece of this national pie. That's been the problem as well, too. Because when you have segregation and when you have other policies that came out of Washington that negated people access. You think about the black soldiers that came back from World War II. Okay? That's been systemic. Issues. Those types of issues. So if you're talking about having this decentralization, you have to, I'm not saying you have to, but one could argue, you have to look at how we've progressed to this point where we are right now. And when you say they didn't want government involved, but government was already involved because they set policies and laws that were already flawed and discriminatory and for lack of a better word, racist to begin with. So if we're going to get to this point that you want to get to, should we not evaluate and look at the past and make sure it doesn't repeat, which also means getting rid of discriminatory practices and policies?
The thing that I'm missing here is specific policies that you're discussing, because in my mind, the biggest deal is to get rid. You're right. I want to make sure everybody has equal opportunity. And I've seen, I have very good friends who've come here from all over the world. It doesn't matter if you came here from Korea or India or Nigeria. You can come here and be wildly successful. In one generation, like you could be nowhere else in the world. I've been to 50 different countries, at least. And I've never seen the opportunity. Name one other country where you can come here with no money, no friends, not speak the language, not look like everybody else. And within one generation, you can be a millionaire and your kids could be well on to being a doctor,
that
lawyer,
whatever.
That
doesn't apply to everybody, and you know that, Con.
Actually, I disagree totally.
Okay.
Because I've seen it.
Okay.
Time and time again. This is the
American
dream.
And I have seen it where people have tried to live the American dream, but they are hindered by certain policies.
What policies?
Oh, come on.
I'm just asking.
You really want to do this? Yeah, you don't want the policy. Really?
Please.
Congressman McCormick?
I'm asking a simple question.
Really?
Do you not want to answer your question?
No, okay. You know the answer to the question.
No, I don't.
Yes,
I'm asking specifically, what policy?
You're a man of history, right?
I'm talking about right now, what policy?
You're a man of history.
I'm asking what policy.
You're a man
right
of
now?
History?
So you don't want to answer your question?
No,
just
you don't want
the question.
No, you know the answer to the question. Don't do that. This is not what our listeners want to hear. You making this assumption
why can't I answer
the
question?
Here's the thing. Hold up. You making this assumption that all you have to do is pull yourself up by the bootstraps and you're going to be a millionaire. You know that does not apply to everybody. People can have a dream. That's true. That's no one is denying that. But you cannot deny that this nation has systemic issues that have barred some people, and particularly folks of color, from at least having access.
So what policy do you not like we have right now that's barring people from having access to opportunity? I'm just asking a simple question.
And I'm telling you.
I would like the listeners to note that she is not telling me the
Come on, man.
No, seriously. Just tell me which one.
Come on, Congressman.
Because I can address it right now in Congress. I can take up there and make a law if you'll tell me what to make a law on.
Oh,
tell
come
me.
On. Really? We're going
to
do this?
I'm literally saying, I'm offering my, to those folks out there right now, Congressman Rich McCormick is asking, what can we pass to get rid of the systemic obstacle to success?
If you ask that, then I don't know. But anyway, Dr. Richard McCormick, Congressman, thank you so much for taking time. I really appreciate it.
You got it.
I want you to come back and explain the Singapore model.
This is Ira Glass of This American Life.
And it's Glenn Washington from Snap Judgment. Ira, I don't remember the first time I heard public radio, but I do remember the first time I heard you. And I was in law school. I had a girlfriend. We kept getting together, breaking up, getting together, breaking up. And finally, we're going to go on a long drive to try to figure out our relationship. We're going to Canada from Ann Arbor, Michigan. And we're in Ann Arbor, and this show comes on that I've never heard before, and it's a story. I believe the story was about Miles Davis.
And I said, Miles, man. I said, Miles.
Oh, my God. I remember that one.
You're living like a pig, man. This is a pigsty. He said, so what? What you expect? I just play music, chump.
And I'm listening to this story, and my girlfriend, she's like, what are you doing? Turn that noise off. I don't hear that. And I was like, darling, we have a six-hour drive ahead of us. We can just listen to this right now, and you can listen to whatever else you want the rest of the time. She said, you're just doing this to annoy me. You're just doing this to make me upset. And it clicked. And I said, you know what? Let's just not do this. Stop the car.
Wow.
I knew that if she didn't understand something that fundamental about who I was, that I really, really wanted to hear this story, we weren't going to make it anyway.
I think the thing you're describing, I think a lot of us who listen to public radio, like we have that experience, like you know, we like these stories, and it's hard for us to imagine getting along too well with somebody who just can't stand them, you know. And I think if you are somebody like that, and these really mean something to you, in a way that maybe not everybody in your life always understands, and also like if your relationship to the station is like you hear things on the station that then you end up telling other people, then I would just encourage you, like we need your support, like you know, when we're here on the pledge drive, and we're talking about like, oh, we need people to call. I think a lot of people think like, well, somebody else will call. And I'm saying like, you, if this is your relationship with the station, you are the one we need to call. Like you are the person.
You listening, you right now, you not, don't look around. It's you.
Don't wait for tomorrow. Make a snap judgment right now and pledge. Here's how to pledge.
It's so easy to do. 678-553-9090 or online at wabe.org/donate. You know, we've never done this before on public radio. It's a story off. Interesting. It's the first ever story off between Ira Glass of This American Life and Glenn Washington from Snap Judgment. And there will be more stories throughout the day today. But have you voted? Have you given? Why not? Do so now. And I'm honored to be joined by WABE's Senior Vice President of Membership, Glenda Davis. Thank you for taking the time. Really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you so much. As Rose said, it's very easy. You can do so at WABE.org. Just tell us who you're voting for in the comment section or tell the operator your choice when you call 678-553-9090. We'll be announcing the results tonight during All Things Considered. Thank you.
It's our 75th anniversary, and to celebrate, we're offering our brand new 75th anniversary mug. It features bright and vibrant patterns and was created by Atlanta artist Melissa A. Mitchell. It's yours today only with a one-time gift of $75 or more. WABE is celebrating 75 years of service. Join us with your gift right now at wabe.org/donate. Thank you.
Yes, thank you so much. Because the reason we have fundraisers like this is simply we're looking for donations to help cover the cost of programs like Closer Look, and to cover our series, the conversations like the one you just heard. Looking forward to talking about the Singapore model at some point. But please take a moment to give at wabe.org/donate. And as always, I'm Rose Scott. And Glenda Davis, who's our Senior Vice President of Membership, I have a question. I'm just asking for a friend. Where is the Closer Look custom socks for members? I'm just asking for a friend.
It is in the works.
You told me that 3 years ago.
We will definitely look into that for you, Rose.
And I think, and not just the City Lights custom socks, H. Johnson custom socks.
Writing that down.
Morning Edition with Lisa Ram socks.
Yes, I
love it. ATC with Jim Burris socks. Jim's a sneaker guy, so maybe some shoelaces. Now, that would be cool.
I love it.
Because you're the person that can make it happen.
Well, the team is making it happen. But yes, we can definitely look into that for you for sure. All right. As Rose just mentioned, we're looking to cover our operating costs. And as a small token of our appreciation for your donation, we will enter you into a drawing to win a $250 Good Measure Meals gift card. These are healthy, dietitian-approved meals made here in the ATL and delivered right to your door. This drawing is open to anyone who gives during Closer Look, so your odds of winning are very good. You can give at wabe.org/donate or with a call at 678-553-9090. And we know you're not just giving just because of the gift card, but because you appreciate Closer Look and all the compelling issues such as affordable housing, the legislature, politics, and education, just to name a few. So please take a moment to give right now at wabe.org/donate. Thank you.
You know, it is a good time now, Glenda, to donate. Because listen, when you do it, as Glenn just talked about, you are entered into a drawing to win the $250 Good Measured Meals gift card. That is pretty cool. And this is open to anyone who donates right now, between now and the end of Closer Look. And right now, your odds are pretty good. About, what, 1 in 5? That is pretty good. And this is for new, renewing members, sustainers who upgrade their donation, even those who give something extra right now. We really appreciate it. So look, since you're listening right now, why not make what you could be your very first gift at wabe.org/donate or with a call to 678-553-9090. And as we always say, thank you so much. And Closer Look continues from WABE in Atlanta. I'm Rose Scott. A programming note, we apologize. We went over our time with the congressman, but we will bring you that rebroadcast with Yasha Monk about democracy on tomorrow's Closer Look. So we appreciate you understanding that. And that is something that we've been talking about a lot on Closer Look, ongoing segments devoted about our nation's democracy. Part of that is the ability of journalists to report freely on matters of public interest. It's a crucial indicator of democracy. And then there's something else, too, about journalists, in case you didn't know. Apparently, we make great names for others.
My name is Amy. I live in Dayton, Ohio. I started fostering dogs about 2 years ago, and I always leave NPR on for my dogs. I always tell them to learn something new while I'm gone. I was taking in my 17th foster dog, and I did not realize at the time that she was going to have puppies. I decided to name Cokie after one of the founding mothers of NPR, Cokie Roberts. So we have Carl Castle, Steve Inskeep, Ari Shapiro, Corva Coleman, Netta Ulubi. There were those times in my life that I listened and wasn't able to donate. So now it's important for me, now that I am stable enough financially to do it. You don't have to name a pet after NPR to support the public radio you love. Donate to this station today, and thanks.
That's cute. Yes, you can donate at wabe.org/donate or call 678-553-9090. You know, you can name your goldfish after Jim Burris or H. Johnson. Perhaps you have a parakeet. I think Rose is a nice name for a parakeet. What do you think, Glenda?
I love it.
Yeah. But the way you can really let us know how you value WABE is to make a gift right now at wabe.org/donate. If you have the means, we really appreciate it. So please take that step right now. And right now we're fundraising to create interesting stories and conversations like the one you just heard earlier. And when you donate right now at wabe.org, we will be helping us make all this happen. I'm Rose Scott, joined by our Senior Vice President of Membership, Glenda Davis. You want to thank a couple of people first?
Yeah, let's thank Walter in Atlanta, Inspired to Give, and voting for Glenn Washington.
All right, Glenn's a good friend of mine. That's pretty cool. And Glenda, tell folks right now what will happen when they make a donation during Closer Look.
Sure. When you give right now to support Closer Look, we're entering your name into a drawing to win a $250 Good Measure Meals gift card. These are delicious meals delivered right to your front door. You can do so at wabe.org/donate. And look, we're offering it right now during Closer Look with hopes that you'll give right now, so your odds of winning are fantastic. This drawing is open to basically anyone who gives in the next 6 or 7 minutes or so. For the full set of contest rules, please visit wabe.org/contest rules. You can also give by calling 678-553-9090.
Thanks. And also, we want to thank Eric in Roswell, Robert in Atlanta, who is a regular listener, and he's donating because he enjoys WABE so much.
Scott Simon here, sending congratulations to WABE and its supporters for keeping public media independent and strong for the past 75 years. When WABE started in 1948, children in classrooms were the audience. Now, all of Atlanta, young, old, native, and transplant, is served by the station's focus on news, arts, and culture. Here's to another 75 years amplifying Atlanta, thanks to supporters like you.
Absolutely, yes, supporters just like you. As WABE celebrates 75 years of service, your help is what we need to keep this service independent and strong. So please take a moment to give at wabe.org/donate. And as always, we say thank you so much.
Yes, please take a moment to think about how WABE moves you, how WABE inspires you, and how WABE educates you. Then consider making a commitment to WABE. How about a monthly sustaining donation? Your monthly gift is combined with other Atlanta donors, and it helps us create stories that matter. Most donors give about $10 a month, but you know what works best for you. Every contribution matters at wabe.org/donate or call 678-553-9090. Thank you.
My name is Nancy Slater, and I live in Stonecrest, Georgia. Closer Look is one of my favorite shows, and Rose Scott is so amazing. I love her sense of humor. I love her professionalism. There's no ego that stands as a barrier between her and her listening audience. And that's why I appreciate the program Closer Look so much.
And thank you, Nancy and Stonecrest. We appreciate the kind words. Thank you so much. Hey, listen, if you're a monthly donor and you've been giving at that level for a while, then take a moment to maybe think about increasing that gift. Nearly every year, WABE has to pay increased costs for shows like All Things Considered, Morning Edition, and Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. And giving just a dollar or two or more, well, that can really make a difference. So to increase your sustaining gift, you can do that right now at wabe.org/upgrade, or just tell the friendly person on the other end of the line at 678-553-9090 you'd like to give a little more each month.
Yes, when you give to WABE, your donation goes right to work, helping us bring you more local and regional news, more arts, culture, and stories that you care about. And the responses we get are really important because almost 90% of our funding comes from Metro Atlanta. Please give what you can today at wabe.org/donate or call us at 678-553-9090.
Yes, donate at wabe.org/donate or 678-553-9090. And let us know how much you value WABE. It's easy. It's easy to make a gift right now. It really is. WABE.org/donate. And if you have the means, we want you to take a step right now and do that. And Glenda, before I let you go, do you have a promise to the six Closer Look listeners that you're going to have some Closer Look socks for the next
pledge drive? We are definitely looking into it. We're already looking into it right now.
Socks. All right. Don't you love being put on the spot? You're not coming back. You're going to come back right
there.
Right?
I do. I'm coming back. I'm coming back as much as you want me to.
Well, that's it for this edition of Closer Look. Our producers are LaShawn Hudson, Daniel Razel. Our supervising producer is Tiffany Griffin. Our engineer is Sawyer Vanderwerth. Let me know your thoughts on today's program or any other. Send me an email, rose@wabe.org. And if you missed any of today's program, it's online at wabe.org/closerlook. And, of course, Closer Look weeknights at 7 p.m. as well as our podcast, so subscribe wherever you like. Stay tuned to 90.1 Atlanta. I'm Rose Scott.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.
Local, state, national politics. WABE and NPR have the coverage you need. I'm Jim Burris, host of WABE's All Things Considered. Whether it's on the air at 90.1, streaming online, or connecting through our mobile app, WABE keeps you on top of election 2024 in what's sure to be a pivotal year in politics. And for candidates and ballot information, visit our election hub at wabe.org/election2024.